The AutJet Business Show is your gateway to expert business advice and real-world success stories. Each week, a different leader in the business world will share their tips, insights, and lessons, offering you practical advice to navigate your entrepreneurial journey. Whether you have a business idea or are just starting out or looking to elevate your existing business, the AutJet Business Show provides mentoring, inspiration, and invaluable networking opportunities to help turn your vision into reality. Ensure you get these transformative conversations live on Thursdays at 6 p.m. or find the podcast at highfm.com. Let's build your business empire together.
The AutJet Business Show is brought to you with the compliments of F-Stage. Let them bring your corporate event to life and make it unforgettable.
Let AvStage make your vision a reality. As your trusted technical partner, we deliver top-tier lighting, cameras, sound, visuals, and all technical elements for high-level corporate events, conferences, gala awards, ceremonies, and year-end functions. Elevate your next event with our expert services. Contact AvStage at 011-887-1400 and let us bring your event to life and make it unforgettable.
Welcome to the AutJet Business Show. It's Thursday again. It's just gone 7 minutes past six, and we on show number 41. If you haven't heard the other 40 shows, go onto the High FM website, and you can go and have a look or listen to the others from there. Tonight is very interesting. We're with a guy who has got a business that is kind of named after him, in a way.
In a way.
With us is Adam Klein. He's the co-founder and CEO of Kleinskys, or is it Kleinskys?
Kleinskys. I don't mind so long as you say the name.
He doesn't mind as long as you buy the bagels from him.
I mean, I will say Adam Klein, Calvin Klein. No one says Calvin Klein. I don't know.
That's true.
That's weird. Yeah.
That's true. Anyway, we're going to get to that story in a second. But as you know, I start every show with a business story. And this business story is about Airbnb. And they about turning homes into hotels. And sometimes the best business ideas start with a simple problem. And what was the problem? Back in 2007, they were living in San Francisco. And there was a conference on, a huge conference. It was a design conference. And every single hotel in the city was full. And people needed accommodation. These two students needed money to pay their rent, their own rent. And so they bought a few air mattresses to put up into their apartments. And thought maybe they can earn a little bit of money from that. But they added a breakfast included, and that's why they called it Air Bed and Breakfast. And people loved it, not only for the price, but also for the experience of staying with somebody local. And this grew into, as we know, the Airbnb. Now, it's difficult for people to open up their homes, and instead of them buying the places, they were encouraging other people to open up their homes and share the revenue with other people. One of the biggest problems with this is trust. And they managed to build trust by making sure that they vetted both sides, by making sure the payment was secure, etc. And the business lesson is that even big ideas, because this is now a multi-billion dollar business, even big businesses and big ideas start small. And when you have a real problem, if you are creative, you can build a way of creating it, and you can bring the community with you. And the community is the one that helped them grow.
The AutJet Business Show provides mentoring, inspiration, and invaluable networking opportunities to help turn your vision into reality. Let's build your business empire together.
Let AvStage make your vision a reality. As your trusted technical partner, we deliver top-tier lighting, cameras, sound, visuals, and all technical elements for high-level corporate events, conferences, gala awards, ceremonies, and year-end functions. Elevate your next event with our expert services. Contact AvStage at 011-887-1400 and let us bring your event to life and make it unforgettable.
Welcome back. I'm David Zeidel. You're listening to the Orchard Business Show, and we're about to talk to Adam Klein, co-founder and CEO of Klainskis. Klainskis, they began as a small New York-style deli, and they were tucked away in Seapoint, in what was called the little hole in the wall, as Adam told me, that quickly won the hearts for its authentic bagels, smoked salmon, and warm neighborhood feel. And fast forward a few years, and that humble deli has evolved into a thriving business. The flagship store still operates in Seapoint, just a few meters from where it first began. And then they opened international store in Mayfair in London in 2024. And now they've spread from there to Johannesburg, and they're about to open up their second store. And that'll be in Linksfield at the neighborhood. They are in Melrose at the moment with the first store. Adam started way back with, before he started Klainskis, he was a DJ on Long Street, and he co-founded the iconic Fiction nightclub. And then he was the founder of, and I find this fascinating, something called the Neighborhood Sports Bar. And he's going from the neighborhood then to the neighborhood in Linksfield. And as I said, the opening of that is actually going to be on this Monday. Adam, welcome to the show. It's great to have you with
Thank
us
you.
This evening.
Thanks for having me.
And you got involved in a lot of different things initially. As I said, it was a DJ and then a nightclub. That doesn't sound to most of us like it's linked to food in any way. First of all, do you come from an entrepreneurial background because you're in the business with your brother? And how did you go from a DJ to making bagels?
So I did come from an entrepreneurial background. My father runs his own business with his two brothers. They've had that for as long as I can remember. They've always been in business together. I think they must have been, they've got about more than 40 years now. I started the DJing kind of out of school. School was not really my strong suit, and I think I always kind of had that view that I would start a business, I think, from just growing up in a home where my father had his own business. And DJing music was my passion when I finished school. I actually did study sound engineering, although found out that wasn't much for me there. So ended up DJing at bars and nightclubs in Cape Town on Long Street. And then by chance, someone said to me, looked at a building on Long Street after I'd been DJing on there for some years, and said, what do you think of that spot over there for a club? And I said, that would be incredible. And they said, would you like to do it? And I said, I don't know how, but let's do it. And I didn't have any business knowledge or experience, but I knew that every fiber of my being said that that was going to be a success. And the idea was quite simple. It wasn't supposed to be a nightclub. It was going to be a DJ bar. I wanted to showcase DJs and their music, where people could go listen to a different style of DJ music each night. And it was going to be a bar for free. But the success it took off so quickly that we had to start. It became a nightclub. From there, Neighborhood came a year after that. Started that in 2007. And that was a completely different beast. We went into business with our partners. They owned Royale Burgers, which was quite a well-known, famous burger spot back in the day on Long Street. And they sort of brought the food experience, and we kind of had the bar experience. And once we opened that, slowly I started to get like a little bit more and more kind of interested in the food side of that. And we did sort of get like pub food burgers, and curly fries was our kind of signature thing, chili poppers and all of that kind of stuff. So I enjoyed that and kind of enjoyed getting into that and trying to like make it better. And from that, kind of a passion for food was born. And in that, one of the things that I sort of became a bit obsessed with was like curing meat, making pastrami, and, you know, like smoking meat as well. And I started doing that for a while and started to get good at it. And at this point, I was sort of thinking, I want to do something in food that's really personal, that I can really sort of showcase my passion here. And I kind of was watching the Food Network one night, as you do, and there was a couple from New York that had opened a deli called Mile End, and they had said that like a Jewish deli hadn't opened in New York in sort of almost 40 years. It was like sort of dying out. It was carried by like an older generation, and they wanted to reinvigorate it. They wanted to like make it, you know, relevant for a new generation. And I really liked that idea, the idea of sort of food that I'd grown up eating, and that I was also passionate about making at the time, you know, sort of showcasing that. And I thought then, if I know how to make bagels, I've got the pastrami, I just need to know bagels, and went down a bagel rabbit hole for about a year and a half, until 2014 when Kleinsky's was born.
And did you, from the start, did you make your own bagels?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, when we started, we literally had this tiny little, I mean, our kitchen was half the size of this studio, and we had this tiny little four pan oven, and literally we didn't know what to expect. You know, it was a really small store, it only had like 35 seats, but we outgrew that oven pretty quick.
So I want to ask you, what's the difference between like a toasted sandwich and a bagel? But we're going to do that after the break.
The AutJet Business Show provides mentoring, inspiration, and invaluable networking opportunities to help turn your vision into reality. Let's build your business empire together.
Let AvStage make your vision a reality. As your trusted technical partner, we deliver top-tier lighting, cameras, sound, visuals, and all technical elements for high-level corporate events, conferences, gala awards, ceremonies, and year-end functions. Elevate your next event with our expert services. Contact AvStage at 011-887-1400 and let us bring your event to life and make it unforgettable.
Welcome back. I'm David Zeidel. You're listening to the AutJet Business Show, and we're busy talking to Adam Klein from Kleinsky's. And Adam started off as a DJ and then opened up a nightclub and then a sports bar, and then happened to be watching TV and saw something on TV on the Food Network about bagels and how it was dying in New York, where it was kind of key for many years. And thought, hang on a second, I can do the same thing in South Africa. And just before the break, I asked you about the bagels, because even before I knew who Kleinsky's was, people had said, no, but the bagel tastes different. So I want to find out from you, first of all, having food on a bagel, is that different from a toasted sandwich? And number two, how did you make your bagels taste different?
So I definitely think a bagel is unique when it comes to bread rolls. I mean, obviously all different breads have their own characteristics, but a bagel is unique in that it's not a bagel if you don't boil it. It's got to be boiled before you bake it. And that boiling process, that gives it its characteristic chewy crust. So like a good bagel is chewy on the outside and like light inside. When you toast it, it gets a nice crisp, but it's still got to give like a good tug, like to have a bite. And I don't know if that makes it somehow more filling or, you know, but it feels substantial. A bagel feels like a nice thing to start the day. That's why people love it for breakfast. Maybe those extra chews, you know. And one of the key things as well that when I was doing lots of research into it is, you know, bread baking is fermentation at its core. And that's, you know, you see now that sourdough is really, really popular and for good reason, because, you know, the longer the process of bread takes, generally the better it is. So our bagels, we take a 3-day process sort of making our bagels. And so it's a real labor of love. You know, to do them, you start, we do ferment the dough really slowly over 3 days. And that gives them a very characteristic kind of and authentic. If you go to any New York bagel shop, if they buy their bagels in, because there's a few major sort of bagel bakeries that supply a lot, or whether they bake their own, the something you'll always see is they're always slow fermented. They're always 24 to 48 hours to make that bagel before it hits the pot to boil it and then to bake it. And to do that, if you want to do it at scale, you need a lot of space. You need massive cold room, because, you know, you need to store those bagels somewhere on trolleys for a period of time. So I think for a lot of bakeries and for a lot of shops, you know, it's like, you know, to go and to do that it's quite significant. So some people sort of skip corners and they just roll their dough out on the day and boil it then and bake it, but you're not going to get the same kind of complexity of texture and flavor. Mm.
So I didn't know that all of that goes into the bagel, but I can taste the difference. And what you're saying is that's the difference between cutting corners or not.
Yeah.
You started off in Cape Town. Did you use, and because this is a business show, I want to try and get to the core of the business around it.
Sure.
When you started, did you use your own funding? Did you get other people to invest in it? And how do you even, did you write out a huge, massive business plan beforehand? Or did you think, I'm going to do this and let's just go for it?
Yeah, I mean, that's always kind of been my approach to most things in life. It was similarly to the club, you know, I just, New York Bagels had always been on Regent Road and Sea Point, you know, and they'd left a few years earlier, and you could just feel there was a void along that street, like something, you know, it was lacking. So when this little shop that we took became, well, it had actually been available for about 8 months. No one wanted it. And when we took it, you know, I had that same feeling. I was like, this, you know, there's a need for this in this area. And, you know, I just think this is the right thing to do. I didn't have any business plan planned out. When it came to funding, me and my brother funded it ourselves. I actually ran short of funds near the end, so I sold my car, which I really loved that car. And it was a Navy A3. And so that's actually why we painted the walls navy, and navy became one of our colors, because I was like, my car is in the walls. So yeah, there were a lot of kind of, you know, decisions and stuff that came from gut feel and just from passion. And yeah, so that's how we started. Very small. It was a side hustle kind of like thing. We had our bar that was doing very well. In actual fact, we spent 4 months fitting that shop out. Most of the stuff we did ourselves. The bar counter, we sort of built ourselves, and, you know, that's the wood tiles that have sort of become our signature like look that's in run through all our shops from Cape Town to London, which is not an easy thing to make. Each tile is sort of made individually by hand. That's, you know, we made that ourselves the first time, and now it's sort of become part of our brand identity.
Well, so you must have had a lot of confidence it's going to work, if you're going to sell your car and give up something that I can still see now. You like, you loved your car.
Yeah. I guess I did. I suppose you must believe in what you're doing. You know, I think people also resonate with people they can see when it's someone is really like true about what they're doing. And you know, I didn't start it with an idea of, oh, I'm going to make X amount out of this. You know, this is really just, this is what I want to do right now. This is what I love. And I think it's really good. And I think people are going to like it.
And when you start selling that, how do you price something like that? Do you look at what New York Bagels is selling at and you say, okay, I'm going to do the same? Or do you go and look at all the ingredients and cost it and work out what your profit margins are going to be?
So the typical kind of what you'll hear a lot of like people in restaurants say, they say like, I think it's a little bit old now perhaps, that they would say, you mark your stuff up, you've got your cost of your sale, you know, what it's actually costing your ingredients, then you've got, you know, your labor costs and your running costs and all of that, and then, you know, they say that should be a third. That's I don't know if people really still follow that anymore. I think definitely you want to price things indicatively, you know, towards like the market. Like us especially, we're an everyday eatery. You know, we have people that literally come to our shops 7 days a week, and I've seen it like for years. It's amazing. And I think part of that is not just, it's the accessibility of the food, but it's also that, you know, it's reasonably priced. You can go and eat this food on a daily basis. So to do that, you have to kind of, you know, have a bit of a feel for the menu costing to make sure that you are still kind of relevant within that market.
So if you've just tuned in and you're wondering who we're talking to, it's Adam Klein from Kleinski's, started the business with his brother and started in Sea Point and then moved to Joburg in Melrose. Now, for those who know Melrose, there was something called the Voodoo Cafe, then became the Gourmet Grocer, and Kleinski's took that same spot. What I was absolutely amazed, because I live in the area, was we heard that you were coming. I personally didn't know about Kleinski's. I've heard about Kleinski's, but hadn't eaten anything from Kleinski's in Cape Town. And I watched. It took quite a while to equip the whole place up. And with most businesses, they grow slowly, slowly, slowly. And for me, what seemed amazing, and tell me if I'm correct, but it was almost like day one, you were absolutely full and it hasn't slowed down.
Yeah.
And my question to you is, what did you do to like hit the ground running from day one?
In terms of the Birdhaven store, the Joburg store, a lot of preparation, and also just some awareness that it's going to be busy from day one. It's probably not going to go well from day one for us, because, you know, like trying to put a restaurant team together and expecting them to perform on the first day is like taking a bunch of footballers, putting them on the field and say, okay, play, guys. And when it comes to Birdhaven, it was like putting us up against Real Madrid or something. So that was something else. But we did do a lot of planning. You know, we've built the business now over time. We've sort of done a lot of, we've looked at how do we kind of take what we do from one place and how do we recreate it faithfully in another, so that there's like a connection, you can still sort of taste it's the same place. So we put a lot of time into that, into building sort of systems and operating sort of manuals and a lot of stuff, so that the guys there had like all the tools for them to kind of hit the ground running.
So it's one thing to have your team hitting the ground running, and I want to ask you about the manuals, etc., just now, but it's another thing to have the customers, because you don't control the customers. What do you think made it that from day one people were waiting for it to open and then came immediately?
So it's interesting. Joburgers have always had an affinity for Kleinski's, which has always been incredibly overwhelming, and we've always appreciated so much. When we started, it was November of 2014, and no one really knew about us in the beginning, and we were kind of, you know, had a few people checking us out here and there, and then it got to the middle of December, and all of a sudden some people from Joburg came in, and then some more people, and some more people, and all of a sudden we were incredibly busy, and we sort of took off from there. I think that like initial sort of wave of people finding out about us, and
so this was the store in Cape Town originally.
Yeah, this was the original store, but ever since then, year in, year out, the same people have come and more people have come, and every year they say, when are you going to open in Joburg? When are you going to open in Joburg? And I think a few people were like even upset that we opened in London before we opened in Joburg. Like, how could you do that? We've been asking you for like 10 years. So we sort of built up a name here with Joburgers and yeah, I think they were ready and waiting for it, and which we were very, very appreciative.
So going back to your London store, how do you go from Cape Town to London, and it is instead of Joburg, to expand internationally? What prompted that?
We were presented with an opportunity that was a really fantastic opportunity, I thought, you know, where we were at the time, the business was in a good, stable position. I thought, you know, the opportunity to launch something overseas is really, really, like, you know, incredible. And I have a British passport. So myself and my brother, our mom's from England. So it sounded like something we really should take a stab at. And it was has been an incredible learning experience, and it's been an incredible experience actually. And the fact that we went to London and the brand was received really well, the product was received really well, it was really to see it sort of standing up on an international sort of stage against other people in London, really, really was really good thing to do.
So when you said an opportunity arose, was it that somebody there said, I'll invest in it, bring it across, or was it that you saw a gap in the market and decided to go there yourselves?
It was someone that approached us that said, I've got a location. I think this would be a good fit for this location. So we went over, we took a look. It was, interestingly, a small store, not too dissimilar from our original store. So I quite liked that sort of genesis of, you know, wow, this is quite like clandestine in a way, you know, for us to not sort of start this again in another country.
And now you've expanded to a second store in Joburg. So you've got one in Melrose.
Yeah.
And as I said, on Monday, you're opening up another store in the neighborhood shopping center.
Yeah.
What prompted that?
The second store in the neighborhood. It's, you know, I've spent quite a bit of time now in Joburg, and I've also, you know, got friends from Joburg, and like people have spoken very highly, and I also know like Linksfield's a great area, a great location, and the neighborhood square is a really, really great center. So when we were able to sort of get a store in there, it just was something that we definitely had to jump at.
So you sound as if your philosophy in business is, I've got this gut feel and I'm going to go with it, but I'm sure behind that there's a bit of planning. And I'm asking this with a reason, because earlier you mentioned to me around you found the Excel spreadsheet and you started using that. How do you use other tools from a business point of view, like the Excel spreadsheet?
So I love to incorporate as much technology or ways that we can capture data as possible. My other businesses, when I left the nightclub, because we sold, and I still had, I think, boxes of like invoices and receipts, you know, like you're supposed to keep for 7 years and everything. When we started Client Seas, I'm like, this is going to be a paperless business. We're going to do this all digitally. And so we've like started like that, and we've actually carried that through to everything. The spreadsheets, that was kind of, you know, I've always loved sort of capturing the data and seeing how you can utilize that in the business. It's just like really fascinating over time when you really start to see, you know, the patterns in there. It's just really invaluable. From there, I mean, we've also
So we've got a platform, really great platform for sort of HR and running our system called Connect Team. They sort of do all of our check. We created all of our checklists, all of our company culture, our knowledge base, our courses. That's like this new staff will have tests that they run, and you know, and this is really, you can as an owner and you know, someone trying to build a business, you know, you can really see like the staff who are sort of taking to it, who are like, you know, actively utilizing it, and it's just incredible, like what you can get out of it.
So it looks like you're building a system.
Yeah.
And normally people build a system so that they can now expand it out.
Yeah.
Are you looking at some stage down the road of creating a franchise type group or not?
I've heard a lot of people say that to stay away from franchising, so that's why we've kind of sort of owned these stores that we're opening. Although, I mean, I wouldn't be adverse, you know, like I believe that kind of what I really enjoy, I see that, you know, restaurants, sort of small restaurants, they rely on people, and larger kind of restaurants that are run as businesses, they rely on systems. And it's those systems that allow you to sort of, you know, to scale. So, you know, you'll go to a restaurant often and they'll tell you like this is Cynthia, and Cynthia is like, she's the only one who knows how to make the Hollandaise sauce. She makes the best, you know, but until Cynthia doesn't come to work, and then the Hollandaise sauce is not good. So we were caught in that trap for quite some time, you know, and that when you realize, okay, cool, we actually have to find a way that everyone here can add value, and it doesn't rely specifically on individuals. That's really the beginning of trying to build that type of framework.
So I want to get to what your systems are in terms of, if somebody just joins you, do you have a process that you take them through to, I don't know what the term is, maybe to Klansky-rise them?
Yes.
So that they operate according to your system? But I'll get to that after the break.
Cool.
The AutJet Business Show provides mentoring, inspiration, and invaluable networking opportunities to help turn your vision into reality. Let's build your business empire together.
Let AvStage make your vision a reality. As your trusted technical partner, we deliver top-tier lighting, cameras, sound, visuals, and all technical elements for high-level corporate events, conferences, gala awards, ceremonies, and year-end functions. Elevate your next event with our expert services. Contact AvStage at 011-887-1400 and let us bring your event to life and make it unforgettable.
Welcome back. I'm David Zeidel. You're listening to the AutJet Business Show, and together we're listening to Adam Klein from Klansky's, who's talking about his business, how it started and how it's grown, and really just a bagel business, but it feels a bit more than that. It feels that it's got that family feel about it. And just before the break, I asked, how do you make it like a family business that people are involved and they learn the way? But before I get there, I want to ask you something else. When you're looking at a restaurant type business, obviously the food is important, but then the location is important, but then the people involved are important, and then the systems are important. Is there anything else besides that you think is crucial to run a business like this? And then we'll get to the people side.
I think you've covered quite a lot of the bases. I mean, you need to have a product that people like, and it needs to be consistent. I think restaurants, you know, live and die by consistency, and you also need to be relevant. Your food needs to be sort of, you know, accessible. Or the thing that you do needs to be not a novelty. I think there's a lot of novelties out there, but I think essentially, if you've got a good concept and you've got good people and good locations, you've got a good business.
Great. And then in terms of the people, so somebody joins you, Do you look for somebody who has already been in the food game, or do you look for somebody new? Because there's the positive and negative. Definitely. Because they can come with their bad habits in, sure, the food game, or you can teach them afresh.
Yes. So I think when it comes with higher level employees, I think it's important for people to have experience, I would say, because, you know, even I only have the experiences that have been formed within my businesses. You know, I think it's always great to bring outside knowledge and experience into a business. I think that really helps grow a business. But when it comes to sort of, we've got chefs. In fact, one of our head chefs started as the sculler when we started. She was actually the cleaner at Fiction, who then came with me to Clancy's and started at the sculler, and she's now one of the head chefs at one of our smaller stores in Cape Town. And we have a lot of those stories within the business, and we've always just like really loved, you know, creating opportunities for people. And I think that goes back to one of the other questions you had earlier around, you know, the culture and how do you clientsify, you know, people. I think, you know, creating a place for them where they feel recognized and where they see that there's an opportunity for them to actually grow within a business. You know, people that really appeals to people. Not that they're just a cog in the machine and no one sort of sees their efforts. So we find that we feel it's very, very important to, you know, to recognize people for the value that they bring to the business, and also to create opportunities for them to further their careers.
And do you have a manual that's, so you can't be in every store. Do you have kind of a manual, this is the way we do it here, and you teach that way? And the reason I'm asking that is I went to your store once, and then I went again a couple of weeks after that, and the person said, like, welcomed me back. She recognized that I had been there before, which, right, I was like quite astounded. That was the one thing. And the other thing is, they take almost like the order on an iPad.
Yes.
So that it's not pen and paper and it goes straight to the kitchen, I presume.
Yes.
Is that part of your modus of operandi?
It is, yeah. So I find that that's always been the system that we've implemented from the beginning. I think it's a lot more efficient if you have a waiter taking an order, writing on a pen and paper, you know, they still have to go to a point of sale. Often there's another person putting an order through before them. And, you know, it's a whole process. So we find that sort of taking their order at the table, being able to repeat the order back to a customer, you know, if it's a fairly large order, you know, and then just hitting send really helps in keeping efficiency in the restaurant.
So do you have a manual that you say, okay, this is the way to, and if you can talk us through your process around that?
So we've built our manual within our inventory manager, which has got, you know, your recipes and your processes and everything. It's a web app system that, you know, the chefs have access to, so they can learn from there. And then we've also got our knowledge base that we sort of have within our HR system that also has the courses and the recipes, and people can actually be taken through. So waiters can be taken through every single menu item, the history of the item, when we added it on the menu, like, you know, if it's one of our dishes or if it's sort of a classic dish, it has all the information in there. And then we also have quizzes that the staff members will need to complete that, you know, you can start to see the staff abilities.
And are those quizzes on kind of the history of things, or is it on how to actually come and take your order, etc.?
It's a lot on the history. So we'll ask a lot of questions, you know, when did it start? And, you know, like, do we serve matzo ball soup? And, you know, so a lot of questions, you know, what is lox? you know, so stuff that is quite specific. So, you know, similarly to your experience with, you know, someone remembering, or, you know, someone, if a staff member knows like a New York term like LOX or something, you know, it can often be, or like what a CNADL is, you know, it can, you know, it shows that the staff really know what they're doing. So
just on that term, I was there eating a bagel and someone I knew said, you have to order the arugula.
Yes.
Now, I don't know if I've been lost, but I didn't know what arugula is. And I said, thank you, but no.
Yeah.
And she insisted and she said, you have to, you won't, you will thank me. And I don't thank her because I bought lots of arugulas afterwards. It's like a sabra, but somehow tasted different. It was, it's like a mini little cake. And it's, what is it and where did that idea come from?
Rugelach is a very traditional Ashkenazi pastry. It's made it's with cream cheese in the pastry. Traditionally, I think it's so it would often be with apricot, or you'll get it with cinnamon. Ours are made with Nutella. We also have Biscoff ones that haven't been released yet in Joburg. We need to bring those up. Yeah.
Mine was definitely the Nutella one.
Yes, yeah, you're going to have to come back for the Biscoff because we're going to bring that one soon. And yeah, we sort of roll them up so they look like mini croissants. A lot of people just call them mini croissants, but they're not. They're much more biscuity, or they've got a nice chewy, gooey center. Mm. Yeah, and like you said, they're quite Moorish.
Very, very Moorish. When we come back, I want to ask you, for anybody starting their business, for anybody just starting out, what would you take as the key lessons or the key things that people must know or do to be successful either in your business or just in general? But we'll do that after the break.
The AutJet Business Show provides mentoring, inspiration, and invaluable networking opportunities to help turn your vision into reality. Let's build your business empire together.
Let AvStage make your vision a reality. As your trusted technical partner, we deliver top-tier lighting, cameras, sound, visuals, and all technical elements for high-level corporate events, conferences, gala awards, ceremonies, and year-end functions. Elevate your next event with our expert services. Contact AvStage at 011-887-1400 and let us bring your event to life and make it unforgettable.
Welcome back. I'm David Zeidel. You're listening to the AutJet Business Show, and we're in discussion with Adam Klein from Kleinskis. And just before the break, I asked you, Adam, if somebody says to you, what's the secret to your success, or what should I do that can help me with my success? Are there some core things that you can think of absolute must-dos and not do in business to be successful?
Yeah, so I think you know, going back to like you were saying, for me, I've never actually started a business chasing the money. You know, I've always wanted to do something well that I believe that customers will, you know, appreciate. And the belief and what I've learned is that, you know, success comes from that. So I think it's always very good to look at, you know, are you passionate about it? Are you adding value? I think it's really important to, you know, to when starting a business, a lot of, and this is quite specific to restaurants. Restaurants, you know, may start with an aesthetic or, you know, a broad idea about someone who wants to own a restaurant. But is there a market, you know, that you're going after? So, you know, you need to add value to wherever you are. And another one that I think is vital, but also quite obvious, is perseverance. I will say that, especially in these industries, the nightclub not so much. That was a lot of fun, but definitely running a restaurant is a lot of hard work. And you know, there's a lot of times where you just like believe that this is too much, because it can be a lot. And I think a lot of people give up. But you know, perseverance and pushing through, and really just having that belief in what you do, and having that a work ethic as well. I mean, we work quite hard at trying to get something done. Nothing happens overnight. This is sort of been a almost 11-year journey now for us, and you know, for the first 7 years we only had one store, you know. So we learned a lot during that time before we started to branch out. So I think really putting down a good foundation is very much key, not rushing things.
Mm.
I think the do nots, well, if you want to open a restaurant, go ahead, but I would say do not. But if you really do, I think there's a lot of pitfalls, but it can also be incredibly rewarding if you make food that people resonate with and they enjoy. That can really be a good motivator to keep you going in a business, in a food business. Perseverance, hard work.
So a lot of people think, oh, I'm going to a restaurant and it's for the food, but it's not. The going to a restaurant is more than just the food. What do you think your customers are going there for other than the food?
Well, yeah, this is something that I say to my staff as well. It's like, you know, people can make food at home. It's the atmosphere, it's the experience, it's, you know, there's a lot that makes up a good restaurant experience. You need to feel welcome, you need to feel seen, and it's very important to give something to people that they feel that they can't get at home.
Great. So you've said quite a lot around this. You said, first of all, the focus has to be on the customer. It has to be adding value. The person needs to feel like they're welcome there and seen. And then you said also it mustn't be a novelty and they must be consistent. So that's a big thing. Once I've tasted your arugula once, if the next time it's not as good, that's a huge disappointment.
Yeah.
I've tested it quite a few times and I'll just let you know it's consistent.
I mean, I would say that any restaurant here that says that they get it right 100% of the time would be lying. We try really hard and to try get it right as much as possible, and we do really try believe that consistency is key.
And the store that you're opening on Monday in the neighborhood, is that going to be a similar size to the one in Melrose?
It's slightly bigger, and the trading hours are longer. So we're going to be opening evenings. And you said earlier that we're not just a bagel shop. We do have quite a bit more than bagels. The breakfasts that we're very popular for. We do Eggs Benedict on Latkes, the Latke Benedict. Pastrami hash and eggs. We do a lot of breakfasts, and then we also have hot dogs, salads, and at the neighborhood store we're going to be bringing, in Cape Town we do burgers. We bake our own potato buns that I would say rival the bagel for my favorite bread roll product. We're going to be doing those at the neighborhood, and then we'll be bringing them to Birdhaven as well.
Okay, so reverse engineering.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. So I want to thank you for coming in. I'm looking forward to trying out your new store and
thank
the new bagel.
Yeah.
And I'm David Zeidel. This is the Orchard Business Show, and this has been Adam Klein from Kleinskis.
Thanks.
The Orchard Business Show is brought to you with the compliments of F-Stage. Let them bring your corporate event to life and make it unforgettable.